The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll talk about my daily routine during Disney World trips. That's coming up on this episode 80 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 80. 80 seems like such a big number. I can't believe there's been this many episodes already. But thank you for being here for this episode. So I wanted to talk today about the routines that my son and I in particular tend to have on Disney World trips. And I realize how ridiculous it is that I even have routines for Disney World trips because that means I get to go a lot. But the fact is I do go a lot. And so over time we've sort of developed a routine that works for us. And I realized that some of the details of how we do things might be helpful to you as well, because there are things we've learned over time that we've had to add into this routine. So anyway, I'm going to go through the details of that in a little bit. And as I record this, my son and I are headed tomorrow morning, if you're listening to this on Sunday when it goes up. We are headed tomorrow morning to Disney World, so this routine is fresh on my mind because I'm sort of starting the process right now as we pack our things and start printing off boarding passes and that kind of stuff. So this is fresh on my mind and something I will be putting in action this week. And then the next podcast will be recorded at Disney World and from my hotel room probably. And so that will be up next week. So let's dive into the routine. And it starts at home. And I have a packing list on the website. If you Google Disney World packing list, my site is the top result. And this packing list is the one that I have used for many, many years. And I keep editing the list over time to be current, because things that used to be on the list, like camcorders, are no longer a thing, but phone chargers are a thing. So it's been edited over time, but I've been using this list for a decade and I use it on every trip. Although there are some things on the list that are Disney World specific that aren't needed on all trips. And the reason I like using it is just as a reminder to pack things that I wouldn't normally have remembered. So, you know, if you're going to Disney World during a hot time and you want to remember to take a personal fan with extra batteries or, you know, something like that, that's not something you might normally take on a trip. But as you sort of just look through the list, then it helps you to sort of jog your memory. And for me, it reduces anxiety a lot, because that way when I'm driving to the airport, I am not worried about, did I remember this? Did I remember this? Is there anything I forgot? Because over time, I've just created this list that helps me remember everything I could possibly need on any trip. So I start with the packing list, and before I head out of the airport, I double check it to make sure that I've got all the things on it. And once we arrive at the airport, by the way, we arrive quite early. I highly, highly recommend giving yourself plenty of time to go to the airport, because there's nothing like starting your trip off on a note that is frantic and stressed out. That is just not a fun way to do things. So we tend to arrive very early. And after we park our car, we take a picture of the parking spot, because you might think you'll remember it, but after you get back, you will not. And because a lot of things happen between then and when you return. So we take a picture, and that helps us remember. And then we go in and we go through security and we get to our gate, make sure we know where we're supposed to be. And then we usually end up having a meal. So on this trip, we will probably be having lunch, because our flight is midday. But, you know, sometimes it's dinner. And so I just recommend giving yourself plenty of time. When I had littler kids, or when our family takes bigger trips, I tend to pack backpacks for the kids full of fun things to do. And this routine, I tried to give it up and I tried to stop doing it. But on our big family trips, my kids still enjoy having me do it, even though they are 13 and 20. But the reason I'm bringing this up is that I would often tell them that they could not open their backpacks until we arrived at the airport. And that's because we arrive early. And so there's plenty of time to kill. And they have, you know, activity books and iTunes gift cards and things like that that they find in their backpack that they can start to enjoy at the airport while we're waiting for our flight. So then, and by the way, I have a whole entire post about vacation bags like that, that I have suggestions about what to put in those bags to surprise your kids. I can link to that in the packing list in the show notes. There's going to be lots of things linked in the show notes today and some handy graphics to help as well. All right. So after you're at your gate and you board the plane and you arrive in Orlando. So the Orlando airport is strange because you arrive at satellite terminals and then you have to take a tram that goes to the main terminal. When I was a kid, I loved this. It was one of the things I remembered. I think the only thing I remembered from the trip that I took when I was in third grade, because I just loved it, but it is a little strange. But when we do this on every trip, between the terminal, between landing and taking the tram to the main building, my son and I stop at the bathrooms at the satellite terminal, and we stop at the food court because that's where you have a few different food options, usually everything from McDonald's and pizza to sandwiches. And we will often pick something up there before we take the tram over to the main terminal. And that's because there's often hours, at least a couple of hours between then and when you will have access to food at Disney World. And so if you happen to be arriving and you're even in the smallest bit hungry, I highly recommend getting food at the satellite terminal food courts and then taking it over to the main terminal and eating it while you wait for your bags to arrive, which is what we do. Not everyone's going to be picking up their bags. If you have decided to allow Magical Express to handle your bags, then you will skip this step. I do not ever have Magical Express handle my bags because it can take up to 3 or 4 hours for the bags to show up in your room. And because my son and I are perfectly capable of handling them. However, when I had little kids, I would have loved this option because it's a lot to juggle little kids and their strollers and all their gear and also your luggage. And so, you know, if you have little kids, you'll just probably want to skip the luggage pickup part at the baggage claim. But otherwise, you need to go to the main terminal and find your luggage baggage carousel so that you can get your bags there. And this is where my son and I usually just eat. So if we pick up a sandwich or a piece of pizza, we just eat it there while we're waiting for our luggage to show up. So we grab our bags and then we head to the Magical Express counter. One little trick in this is that the main terminal has two different sides, the A side and the B side. And the Magical Express desk is on the B side of the airport, but some airlines fly in on the A side. So what happens is we usually fly Southwest Airlines. So Southwest Airlines comes in on the A side. So that means we go to the baggage carousel on the A side. And that means we have to then navigate to the B side for Magical Express. And that involves going all the way back up to the floor that you come in on, navigating over to the B side, and then all the way down to the front, I mean, to the first floor. I have a graphic I'm going to include in the show notes because it illustrates this better than I can probably explain it. But the Orlando airport is just strange. And every single trip, we see people walking around wondering where Magical Express is. And of course, we help people as we can. But I just want you to know this ahead of time so that you don't get caught off guard when you get there and you're not sure where to go. But essentially, you just have to make sure if you're doing Magical Express that you end up on the B side on level one, which is where you catch it. If you are doing something else like renting a car or you are having you have a car picking you up, then the rules might be different and you might be going somewhere different. But for Magical Express, it's B1 that you need to end up on. So when you check in the Magical Express counter, by the way, you can use your magic band for this. So if you happen to have it on you, you can scan it as you arrive at the Magical Express area. They will tell you to get in the line for your resort. And then you will be told to board a bus, and the buses will leave when the bus gets full. So if you happen to be one of the last ones on, then the bus will pull away fairly quickly. If you're one of the first ones on, you will have to wait until it fills up before it leaves. And then once it leaves, each bus will usually travel to a few different resorts. So if you are the last resort, you'll have to wait for everybody else to get dropped off. If you're the first, it'll be easier for you. And this is why sometimes we do have cars pick us up, because this process of waiting is sometimes not ideal. But on trips for my son and me, we do take Magical Express because we're trying to keep the cost down. It's the only way you can really afford to go several times per year, is to do some of them a little bit less expensive than others. Okay, so we're on the bus and we're going to the airport and we're getting checked in. And starting this month, March, almost all the resorts will allow check-in that allows you to skip the front desk. So if that's something you're interested in, when you do the online check-in ahead of time, it will ask you for email, or it'll ask you for your phone number, and they can text or email you your room assignment. And then as long as you have your Magic Band, then you can go straight to your room. Not everybody's interested in skipping the desk that way, but if I am allowed to do it on my trip this week, I will certainly take advantage. So once we get to our hotel room on arrival date, I immediately start unpacking things just to sort of feel at home and have clothes on the dresser and toiletries easily accessible. And then I start to get my backpack ready for the first day in the parks, because we don't usually arrive on a day when we go to the parks. We usually arrive in the evening or at night, late at night. And then the next day is our first day in the parks. So I get my backpack. By the way, the packing list that I have has a whole section for what you might want to put in your backpack. So that could be a good reference for what to pack that day. But everybody's different, so your list may not be quite as extensive as mine. But I do have a post on what to pack in your park touring bag as well. And so I'll link to that. I've got lots of links to include here. All right, so now we're checked in and we are going to bed and we are ready for the next day, which is our first day in the parks. So every day during our trip has usually the same basic schedule. And that is that we get up in the morning and we are at the bus stop an hour before the park opens. And as I was preparing for this show, I mentioned to my son that the parks happen to be opening at 8 a.m. while we are there. And he groaned and said he's not sure he can do it. That's part of being a teenager. Getting up in the morning is not easy. So what we do is, hopefully we'll still be able to pull that off this trip, but we get to the bus stop an hour before the parks open, and that will put us at the parks usually about 30 to 40 minutes beforehand. And we usually just pack a bottle of water and a quick snack to have on the way. We don't do a big breakfast thing because to me that just cuts into sleeping and park touring times. So we have bottled water and the granola bars or grapes or something like that, something quick and easy for the morning. And then once the park opens, we spend a couple of hours touring and we tend to eat lunch around 11. Now, at home, we do not eat lunch at 11. In fact, I'm lucky if I'm having my toast and coffee at that point, because we just are not up and around and eating quite that early on a normal schedule. But at Disney World, for some reason, at 11, we are usually hungry. And I have found that when I have made table service reservations for later than that, we often end up at the restaurant at 11 saying, I know the reservation is not till noon, but can you get us in at 11 or 11:30? So now I just plan on doing it at 11. For some reason, that just works better. It's also great for avoiding lines because most people are not eating that early. So that might be something that works for you, but it also works for us because we don't eat a breakfast before we leave. So by this point, we have worked up an appetite. So while we're at lunch, we usually discuss our plans for the day and the rest of the day. And to me, this is part of being flexible, because if we're tired, then, and we didn't get much sleep the night before, then that might mean we're going to leave in the afternoon to go rest. We also might just discuss which shows or rides you want to do. And we might discuss which fast passes we're going to try to get. If we've already, you know, used them all up, we need to discuss if we want to get more. So anyway, lunch for me is early and we discuss what we're going to do the rest of the day. And so, you know, this can vary depending on our moods and the weather and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, we have to make sure we shower and get our backpack repacked for the next day and, you know, make sure we understand what our dining reservations are the next day and touring plans and all that kind of stuff. So that's at the end of the day. So this is sort of the routine every single day of the trip. Sometimes we might sleep in, and so that routine changes, but basically this is the routine that works for us. Now, departure day is a different story. Departure day to me is a little bit hectic, and I actually get a little bit stressed out thinking about it because there's a lot of steps to do early in the morning. But assuming that your departure day includes some park time before you head to the airport, then this routine may very well work for you as well. So the first thing you have to do is you have to pack up your room. And keep in mind, I'm still trying to get to the bus stop an hour before the park's open. So there's a lot to do before the bus. So you have to pack up your room and your luggage and then head to the airline check-in desk. And that's where you can check your checked luggage for the airport. Even if you're not using Magical Express, you can do this. I have a whole post about Magical Express and airline check-in. And you can do this at your resort, even if you're not using Magical Express. And so the first step is to go there, and they will give you boarding passes if you need those as well. Then you head to luggage services, and you give them any carry-on bags that you will want to keep with you on the plane, but not in the parks. And so for this reason, I recommend packing an extra tote bag in your luggage, because you will need something to put your stuff in that you want to keep with luggage services. So I just pack a flat bag. You know, it doesn't take up any space, but it's very helpful in this situation. And then head to the parks, because now your checked bags are with the airline desk, your carry-on bags are with luggage services, and they'll give you a little piece of paper that you can use when you come back. Go to the parks, and then you will need to head back to your resort about 4 hours before your flight, because Magical Express picks you up about 3 hours before your flight. So let's say your flight is at 5 p.m., then at 1 p.m., you should be leaving the parks and headed back to your resort, which gives you enough time to get your bags out of luggage services and then wait for Magical Express to pick you up. So pick up your bags using your tag that you were given, and then take Magical Express to the airport. And then you'll go through security, which, depending on the time of day, the time of year, could be a long line. So it's good to get through that line as soon as you can. And then there's a chance, if security lines were reasonable, that you will have lots of time left before your flight. And so this is where my son and I like to hang out, in a seating area near the food court that has plugs. That way we can make sure all of our devices are plugged in so we can use them on the flight or just while we're waiting. And we often will eat before we get on the flight and also get refillable drinks, because as long as you're hanging out near the food court, you can keep refilling them there near the food court. So I'll have, you know, a couple of Diet Cokes or something like that while I'm waiting for the flight. You can also buy food take on your flight if you would like. But this is just sort of the routine that we have developed on departure day. And then you go home, and it's the saddest part because it's hard to deal with the post-Disney trip blues. But anyway, this is the same routine we do pretty much every trip. We are going to be doing it this week. And right in the middle, we're going to throw a Kennedy Space Center visit in and rent a car to do that, which is a new thing for us. So that'll get us out of our routine. And that brings me to the quick tip of the day, which is about renting a car when you are staying on site. So to go to Kennedy Space Center, we need a car because, you know, that's the easiest way to get there. But I don't need a rental car for my whole trip. So I am renting a car on site. And so I just wanted to make my quick tip of the day about the various on-site rental options. I do have a graphic that I'll include in the show notes that demonstrates this as well. But basically, there are National and Alamo desks on site for people to rent. And you can take a shuttle to the Car Care Center or to the Dolphin, which both of them have National and Alamo desks. And you can just arrange for this ahead of time. They'll pick you up at your hotel. However, we happen to use Avis because my husband gets a great discount through work. And in Downtown Disney, there are three hotels that have rental car desks in them. Those rental car desks include Dollar, Budget, and Avis is the one that I'll be using. If you go to one of those in Downtown Disney, the best way to get there is, well, sometimes they offer shuttles, and so you can call ahead and ask. But if they do not offer a shuttle to pick you up at your hotel to come get your car, you can take a bus to Downtown Disney, get off at the Marketplace stop, and walk across to the hotel that has the rental car desk in it. So, for instance, the Avis desk is at the Hilton. The Budget desk is at the DoubleTree, and the Dollar rental car desk is at the Wyndham, and those are both near the Marketplace section of Downtown Disney. So if you want to rent a car just for the day or for a couple days in the middle of your trip, that is one way to do it. Of course, if you want to rent a car at the airport, that's always an option as well for your whole trip. And another thing to keep in mind is that you can pick up one place and drop off another many times. So if you happen to want to rent a car towards the end of your trip and drop it off at the airport and drive yourself back to the airport, that's usually an option. Just check with your rental car company for more information on that. I think that's going to wrap up this episode. I have got some packing to do for my trip. As always, I need to remind you to try to connect outside of the podcast. We have a Q&A tonight. I have to get packed before the Q&A begins so that I don't run out of time. But that's on the Facebook page at 8:30 Central. And you can also find me on Twitter and Instagram, where I will be posting pictures from Disney World this week. And I am WDW Prep School on all those platforms. So be sure to follow there. I think that will wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, including all the links and graphics I've mentioned, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode80. That is the number 80. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.